Hello, Paul. Thank you very much for participating in the Telling Tales project. And please feel free to tell me anything about Halsey.
Okay. So my name's Paul James. I come from Newbury in Berkshire. And it's funny how all through your life, I've been interested in folk and traditional music since I was about 11 or 12 years old. I've still got the tin whistle, the first tin whistle I ever started to play on. And I was, all through my teenage years, I was very, you know, one of a small number of people. I think people thought I was a bit of a weirdo, really, because I was interested in folk and traditional music. And then I started playing in bands, and I play in a band called Blowsabella, which I've played in since I was about 20, 21, 22, something like that. I played with them for 35 years. And so I've been involved with folk music pretty much all my life. And it's funny how you kind of come across Halsey, because I didn't know an awful lot about it. But I had come here, I can't remember when, I was in my early 20s, and it was to a wedding. Actually, it was nothing to do with folk music. It was just a bizarre coincidence. And I remember thinking what a great place it was. And then over the years, you sort of bump into people randomly, you know, about Halsey, like my mother-in-law, who's from Yorkshire but lives in Pangbourne, just coincidentally knows quite a lot of people that used to go to Halsey Manor, you know, and it's 64 million people in the country, you know. There's an ex-girlfriend of mine, when I was about 20, my girlfriend's parents, who live in Liverpool, used to come to Halsey Manor, you know, and you know,
they're all musical, you
know. Yeah, but I suppose there was that connection. But it's quite a small organisation, and it is in a very particular part of the country. But it is surprising how many people have been here. I was talking to Maddie Pryor from Steel Ice Band, and she came here, you know, when she was 17 or 18 years old. Dave Swarbrick, you know, all the musicians in the 60s came here at one time or another. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've been very impressed by was actually the sort of, that we should value the memory of Bill Rutter, who, it wasn't just Bill, but Bill was definitely the sort of driving force that got Halsey going. And amazing, you know, Bill and a group of people that I think he sort of cajoled started Sidmouth Folk Festival 60, 61 years ago. He then started with another group of people, the folk camp movement, still going. And then in the 60s, in the late 50s, then in the mid 60s, he started a thing called Halsey Manor. Yeah. And all those three things are still amazing. You know, yeah. Between 50 and 60 years ago, he started three things that are still going. Yeah. Why? Because actually they're sort of fundamentally, what they do doesn't really go in or out of fashion, does it? You know,
it is out of the way.
Yeah.
Do you think we're out in the middle of nowhere here?
I do, but I think it's become an advantage, not a disadvantage, because my take on it has always been, wherever you put it in England, it's inconvenient for some people. It's an inconvenient place. Well, for you maybe, but for a lot of people it's not that. Yeah. You know, if you live on the sort of M5 side of life, it's not difficult to get to at all. And I think wherever you put it, it inconveniences somebody. But actually, you know, common sense would say, you know, get rid of it, build a purpose-built folk centre in Birmingham or something. But it wouldn't have the sort of personality, would it? It wouldn't have, no, nothing against Birmingham, but it wouldn't have the atmosphere and that special extra something that makes people want to kind of get involved. And I think, you know, somehow people manage to find their way here. We're talking in the middle of the hurdy-gurdy and bagpipe weekend, which I'm leading here. And there are people here. There's three people from southern Germany. There's somebody from Belgium, and two people here from France. Well, they managed to get to Halsey Manor. So, yeah. You know, it's not that hard.
It's not your VW outside. You
know? No, it's not my VW. Wish it was. And actually, if you wanted to do this now, if there wasn't a Halsey Manor and you wanted to create one, you would be hard-pressed to find a place as lovely as this, would you, for reasonable money? Yeah. And they did buy it quite cheaply at the time, you know, because people couldn't get mortgages on old property then. Nobody wanted these big old houses. You know, they were looking, landowners looking to get out. You know, it was costing them too much money. So they got this place for a very cheap price, and that would never happen now. No.
The countryside's spectacular.
It is, and that's what's... I was just talking to Patrick Bouffard, who's the French hurdy-gurdy tutor, who's teaching this weekend, and like he said, this is what an amazing area. It's as, you know, fantastic as parts of central France or the Massif Central, and, you know, just as beautiful, but much less known, actually, the Quantocks. It's not a big, it isn't a big tourist area. So I think so for me, it is in the right place. Mm-hmm. Because what's important is to be able to come somewhere where you can relax and focus on the activity. And it's hard to do that in a town, actually. A rural location's good, and it's a very quiet, it's very particularly peaceful rural location. So all that kind of makes sense. For me, so I've just left Halsey Manor about a month ago. Not funny enough, because I wanted to particularly. A job came up very close to where I actually live, and you know, and a really good cultural job that I would have been mad not to apply for. So I went and applied for it, and to my surprise, they offered it to me. So, but the 4 years I was here, I very much enjoyed. Not least because it's the first time I had a job where my job and my sort of and my hobby in a way are the same sort of thing, you know, folk and traditional music. And I think I've been able to, you know, all those years I've had in the folk scene and playing with Blows of Bella. So luckily, you know, I do know a lot of people across the scene, and so I've been able to, you know, nobble quite well-known people to come and teach here and not charge us too much and all that sort of thing. You know, you've got to use your contacts. So I really enjoy doing that. So now I've had great times here. What I will always remember are the things we do with older people are fantastic. And I think, you know, we should always do lots of stuff for older people because they particularly get something out of Halsey. But we've done a lot of new work since I've been here with younger people. And what I've been very... I knew it would happen, but I was pleased to see that some young people were absolutely transformed by coming here. You know, they were having difficult... We did some work with some schools in Bridgewater, and some of those kids are in the responsibility of the local authority. You know, they're fostered and, you know, don't have many opportunities in their lives. And we've had some of those kids here. And then afterwards, we've had the teachers going... I can't believe the change in this young person. You know, they didn't used to turn up on time. They'd play hooky. They wouldn't wear the school uniform. They had no self-respect for themselves. They didn't know what they had. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they're doing the GCSEs and they got a stronger idea. I don't think that was to do with sort of folk music so much. I think it was just that we got them here with some really good young tutors and valued them, you know, and treated them like adults and didn't lecture them, you know, and let them... express themselves. And the arts has that, you know, whether it's folk or any other kind of art, it has this miraculous transformational effect on people, as we of all ages and types of people. And that's why people get into Halsey, because they, you know, the vast majority go away feeling better than when they arrived, you know, and very often sad to leave. There was a young girl, in fact, I know, funnily enough, she's from my village. I got her parents to send her here. Ellie Prout, and on the way back she put on Facebook, I'm homesick, I want to go back to Halsey Manor. You know, because she'd had such a great... Aww. She's nervous because she didn't know anybody, and you know, and then you know, within the first day she made two new friends and they started doing all this, you know, working on a performance and all that sort of thing. And I think that's what's... And I think having... I think I still feel as strongly as I ever did that there needs to be a residential folk centre in England. And actually, if we don't have one, that we're a considerable... Well, people, I think, people who would be disadvantaged, you know. There are lots of workshops and events going on, but there isn't anywhere... And people do put on residential... You know, dance course, things like that, but it's usually in a hotel or it's in a place that isn't about folk music. The thing is, when you walk in the door here, as I tell everybody, this is what we do. You know, we're not doing a wedding and a load of, you know, some other providing holidays for
business.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and we're just squeezing you in between that.
Yeah.
This is what we do. Yeah, this is what mm-hmm. we do. And every day of the year, you know, Christmas and everything. And it does, and that's why Bill Rutter was right, because that ability for a place like Halsey Manor to really create something special in their lives and help people to pursue their passion, you know, for folk and traditional music, needs a centre like this as much in the early 60s as it does now. And that's never going to go out of fashion. There are different challenges now, but fundamentally, there's something very simple about that Halsey Manor does that people just get quite quickly, you know what I mean? So I think it's very important that it's a charity and that the charity is focused on what it is. It isn't trying to be too generalist. You know, in theory, we could do all kinds of other things. But and actually, that we used to do quite 7 or 8 weddings a year when I arrived, and we don't do any now. And partly that's because, you know, there are much better wedding venues around here, frankly, you know, that are set up for it. But also we had those, that first year, we had 7 weddings that hogged 7 prime weekends when we could have been doing really good folk courses. You know, we're not a charity set up to do weddings, commercial weddings. We're a charity set up to get people participating in folk traditional music. That's what we're here to do. And that's what we should do and not get distracted, you know, by this other stuff. And the challenge, of course, is to do that successfully. And that's not easy. You know, I've had my ups and downs here. You know, some things have done very well, some things haven't. You know, it's a risky business. But overall, you know, we do pretty well because I think there's a genuine, you know, we don't have to create an audience for this. There is an audience, you know, so it's not, we're not trying to.
No, people are loyal.
Yeah, they put 2 and 2 together and pretend it's 5. You know, we're doing something very basic that which people actually want, you know.
And what were the big change? What particularly did you notice changed in the 4 years you were chief executive?
Well, I the place had become, for a long period, overwhelmingly dominated by the what we tend to call the social dance scene, you know, the sort of older end of the folk dance scene. You know, nothing wrong with that. And it was very reliant on the folk dance club scene. And the problem with that is it's in massive decline, and it's not being renewed. You know, young people these days, they're folk dancing, they just don't join clubs. You know, they just go to places to do it, but they don't feel the need to be part of a club. Clubism is a real post-war phenomenon, isn't it? It's got nothing to do with folk music. You know, it's just that generation where very much that's what you did to meet people. You joined a club, whether it was a church group or cycling or, you know, that was what you did. And it's gone well out of fashion. And I'm not saying I don't think it's a good thing. It's just the way, but it's nothing to do with folk. It's society has changed. And folk is just as susceptible to that to anything. So the programme become overwhelmingly social dance and social dance clubs. And then, of course, they were going into decline. So our programme was starting, you know, we were starting to get problems with, last year they had 55 people, now they've only got 40. And, you know, and some of them are still doing really well. But generally speaking, they had their eggs. Instead of having lots of eggs in lots of baskets, you know, a range of activities across the folk arts, they had one great big egg about social dance and in one great big basket. And the trouble with that was when something, I'm stretching my analogies now, aren't I? but once something happens to that egg, that one activity that you do, you're stuffed because you've got nowhere else to go. So actually all I have done is gone, you know, is talk to the, and what's what the board wanted me to do. You know, it's not me. I mean, I was there as chief executive, fulfil the policies of the board, but you know, we were all on an absolute mission to broaden it right back out again across the folk scene. And I'm going to make a criticism here, and I've said this to lots of people, so it's nothing new. You know, people have talked to me, have heard this before. Was it had become very cliquey? It didn't mean to. I think it's just the way it happens, you know. And it was perceived from the outside. People either didn't know about it at all, or they thought, oh, it's just this place run by these folk dance clubs and it's for them and it's not for me. And it wasn't, and it had become, I think unintentionally, genuinely unintentionally, but it had become rather unwelcoming to others. I happen to know a couple of people who approached Halsey about, oh, could I do so-and-so, and didn't, you know,
negative.
Got a very negative response. And so what did they do? They just went somewhere else to do it, and it was really successful. So they cut their nose off to spite their face, you know what I mean? And so the programme had become narrower and narrower. I think the other thing, which the board were well aware of, is amateurism is all very well. It's the strength of the folk scene, but it had always been too overly reliant on amateurs running it, you know, where you, and that, you know, there was, you know, years ago they'd had, you know, did they really understand the budget? Did they really know how to program activities? And they just didn't know enough people. It was, they knew everybody in the social dance scene, but didn't seem to know. There's a massive gap between the social dance scene and the rest of the folk scene. And the rest of the folk scene is much bigger than the social dance scene. So, you see what I mean? It was narrowing down and down and down and missing more and more opportunities to embrace this wider group of people. This weekend, you know, we've got with the 4:30 Gurdy weekend, it's we're packed out. You know, there are people staying in B&B down the road, people in camper vans. And these are people who had never been to Halsey before 4 years ago. And 30% of this lot, even, are new this year. They've never been to Halsey at all. So, and we've done this time and time again in the last 4 years. There's lots of people now coming to Halsey and starting to get the Halsey habit. And I always, don't you think, I always think the important thing is, once you get them over the threshold, they love it. But you've got to get them up to the threshold first, you know. And in that way, being in Somerset isn't all great, because you kind of go, you'll live in Norwich or something, and you'll kind of go, oh, early in Northumbrian Small Pipe Weekend at Halsey, or Playford Dance, well, that looks interesting. Well, it's ever such a long way to go, and will I like the people I'm with, and will the food be any good, you know, all that sort of thing. And there are lots of barriers why people don't, you know, you're asking them to spend money, but what works is word of mouth, and so it's a sort of virtuous circle. So the more new things we put on, the more new people we get. It's them who are really doing the work of, you know, that's, you know, you like, we've got nice brochures and stuff, you know, that's fine. That's great. But actually what really works is when a friend of yours goes, oh, I went to that. Have you heard of Halsey Manor? No. I went there. Did you? What was it? Oh, it was, that's what sells the tickets, absolutely. You know. So the more people you can get saying that, the better. And when I arrived, there was too small a group of people, and they were only really talking to each other because they weren't really connected up more widely across the folk scene. But the other thing is, it's not just to do with the folk scene. There's lots of other people. There's probably 500,000 people in this country who are interested in sort of cultural heritage and things like that, who would love Halsey Manor.
A lot of people have expressed interest in the Bob Crofton archaeological weekend on the Quantocks.
Exactly.
Right. And the walking weekend.
Yeah, the walking weekend, which is with Ted, and that involves a lot of folks singing and that sort of thing. What's not to like? They'll come here, all the archaeological lot, they'll have a lovely time, and they say, oh, well, they're not folkies here, but they've all been to a Cady before, haven't they? Probably most of them have been to a folk club, because they're that sort of people, you know. So, you know, that's the thing. You never try and second guess what these people's interests are. You know, there's a very large number of people with some interest in the folk arts. You know, what we've tended to do is focus on the people we've got massive interest in it. You know, I think where we've got to go is, you know, is trying to pick up those other people. And you don't need that many. You only need 5,000 or 10,000 of them coming here every year, and you've got a massively successful charitable business. You know, the other thing I like about Halsey is I love old buildings. And I do, this building fascinates me, and I spent 4 years trying to sort of, because I spend a lot of time here, so you get to know a building really well, and trying to unpick the history of the building is always fascinating, you know, and all the stories about the ghosts and everything, you know, which
you seen a ghost?
No, and I'm not, and I've stayed here on all on my own on a cold, blustery, windy night, you know, and I wouldn't say I'd be that. Not particularly volunteering to walk from one end of the building in the middle of the night to the other on my own in the dark. Although I have done that when I've forgotten something down the other end of the building. But let me tell you, it has an atmosphere. But it's a nice atmosphere. And so I don't believe in ghosts. But I know lots of people come up to me and swore blind. And I think actually the thing with ghosts is they sincerely believe what they saw or heard. So to them, whether what I think of it doesn't matter. To them, it's real, you know. I think what it's about is it just shows this place has a very fascinating, rich textural history, doesn't it? You know, and it's an interesting place, and that kind of gets people's minds working, you know. But I rather like all those stories, yeah. Like Hazel, you ought to interview Hazel, you know, who's bar manager here for years. She swears blind she's been pushed out of bed in the middle of the night, you know. Yeah.
By someone in the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. But you ought to interview her because she swears blind that it's true, you know. Yeah, and then, you know,
she might be on the list.
Yeah, she lives in Willerton. She lives near to Viv. But you ought to interview Hazel because she's worked here for donkey's years and she loved the place. She retired last November. After her grandkids, she's 65 now, but she's great and she's got loads of fantastic stories. But I can understand where those stories kind of come from. And the other thing I really liked is people coming up to me and going, "Oh, I met my husband here," or, you know, you get a lot of that.
Yeah.
and you get it a lot. I mean, I can probably think, I've probably had 20 conversations like that, you know.
I've met two couples.
And you think, and isn't that great? And why? Because it gave them an opportunity to get together, but obviously also they have these great memories, you know. And you see, that will go on. You know, we're getting younger people in now, we're getting different people in now, and the same thing will happen to them. Some of them will meet their other half here, and then in 20, 30 years' time, they'll be going, "I met my," telling the person behind the bar, you know.
Their child was conceived.
That's right, yeah. Now, I'm quite sure there's quite a lot of racy stories as well, but I think they should definitely be part of...
Please share.
Well, I'm not... That none of them are verifiable, but let's just say love has blossomed within these walls, hasn't it, for a number of people since the 1960s. Not always when they were, you know, when they were with somebody else, you know. But, and also it's given people... you see, this is the difference, isn't it? I mean, I'm a big supporter of English folk dance and song society, and I like Cecil Sharp House, but you only go there for a few hours, and it is a bit cold and drafty, and, you know, you don't get... It's something about the scale of Halsey. It's homely, and we try to keep it informal, and, you know, obviously we have to be organised, but we don't want the front end to look too over-organised. You know, it needs to be have that sort of, yeah, well, I can just leave my shoes there and I'll hang my coat up around the corner, and if I leave my bag on the piano, you know, it's a safe place, isn't it, and people feel at home, and I think that's extremely important, and that is a big reason why people bond with it, I think. So, you know, yes, so you could sell it, you could build a purpose-built beautiful training centre with bedrooms in the middle of Birmingham, but I honestly don't think it would be anything like the same, because it wouldn't have the sort of slightly something a bit. Somebody said this to me, it's Gareth Kiddie, actually, he's one of our trustees now. Gareth said, "It's a bit bonkers, isn't it? You know, Halsey Manor, you know, in a good way." And I think he's right, you know, it is a bit eccentric and a bit different, and that's a good thing in a world of conformity, and you know, and people are a bit too. People were much more rebellious when I was younger. You know, people are very conformist now. And I think one of the things, good things about Halsey is we do embrace, you know, quite a broad spectrum of sort of views and ideas and things like that. That is a really good thing. So I'm very, you know, it'll have its ups and downs, and it's not always easy. And, you know, we've just been through a really bad recession. You know, the whole world has, and we were as affected as anybody else. Affected us a bit later, because the bulk of our income still comes from people who are generally retired and they weren't so affected. But as it started, you know, they weren't making any money out of their savings because interest rates are too low. So, you know, it wasn't so much that a lot of our customers were getting made redundant as that overall we were in austere times. And, you know, that has affected us somewhat. And but it's picking back up now. I had a much more successful year this year than last year. I haven't done anything particularly differently. It's just, I think, it's a bit more optimism in the air. People got a few more spare bob to spend than they did a couple of years ago, you know.
There's more people coming. There's sometimes 45 people on a Monday.
Isn't that great? We've gone from, what, two and a half years ago, having no choir, to on a Monday morning having 40, 50 people there singing. Mm. They're all local.
It's excellent.
Yeah, it is brilliant. Yeah.
And you obviously intend to continue your relationship with Halsey. You don't.
Well, I think once bitten, you know, you that's right. You're kind of part of it, aren't you? And I think, excuse me, I've just been co-opted onto the board, but I'm not going to stay as a trustee for two reasons. One is the new. It's only I said I'd do it till the new chief exec starts in May, you know, and then, you know, I want that to go well, you know. So if anything I can do to help, you know, I will. But actually, after I won't, because actually, funnily enough, although I do it for a living, I'm not a big committee person, really. So I think I prefer to do something like teach or, you know, work with kids or, you know, something a bit more hands-on, really. So, yeah, I'm hoping to be down here, I hope, once or twice a year, you know, doing something or other, but at the sharp end of, you know, working with people. And I'm loving this. This is the first time I've been here, apart from when I came to that wedding so long ago, I can't quite remember even exactly when it was. It was in the late 70s, I think. This is the first time I've been here when I haven't been working here, you know. So I see it as another tutor. Yeah, and it is great. And actually, do you know, I've always supported the staff here and sang the praise of the staff, but it's absolutely true. Because I'm just a punter now. I'm a course leader. I come in, you know, I'm not doing the photocopying and cleaning the loo and, you know, and dealing with things on the phone and stuff. I'm just walking in. So and the staff are there to facilitate the whole weekend going really well. And they do it. They do it. It brilliantly, you know. I know I can ask any of them and they will all be really helpful. And actually, it's the kind of last thing I want to say, really, which I do feel that you're only as good, the building's brilliant, and sometimes there's a bit too much emphasis on that. It's quite a difficult building as well, because it doesn't have very good, it has poor disabled access, and, you know, and da-di-da, you know, it's not easy running a public enterprise in an old listed building, you know. It's just just isn't. How we get around it is by having really good staff. They're the ones that oil the wheels and just make it all kind of work. And we're lucky, we've got a really great staff team, and there's been lots of really great staff here over the decades, and you know, they're the ones who need I think should be given more credit, actually, and more acknowledgement. Because without them, you ain't got anything, have you? You come here and get a cold welcome, you know, or an unhelpful. God knows, we're not perfect. You know, I've worked here, there's times when I've had to shut the door and kick something very hard, you know. But generally speaking, you know, working here is enjoyable. And that's what, these are local people for the most part, you know. And they're all actually very committed to Halsey.
And they're very friendly.
Yeah, a bit more than I think people think. Yes, it is a job, but I think for most of them it is more than a job. They do enjoy what it's about,
yeah.
You know. And without that, this place would have nothing, you know. Mm. So, you know, I know with part of this there's going to be interviews with some staff, of which I'm one, I suppose, but...
Yeah,
I think you get good stories out of them.
Because
they see it all, the staff, you know. Yeah. They see things visitors don't see. Yeah. Anyway, the other thing I want to say was, actually, it's very lucky that we're in... The Quantock Hills is the oldest area of outstanding natural beauty in the country. It was the first one set up after the war in 1948. And it's one of the reasons why it's so lovely. Because it's been protected for 60 plus years, and so it is very pristine round here. And I think that, I think it's easy to come to Halsey and sort of spend the whole time in Halsey, but you've got to see Halsey in its kind of landscape context. Mm. It's in a very beautiful part of the world, in a really nice, and also it's very friendly round. It's not like some country areas where you open the pub door and it all goes quiet, you know. It will go quiet at the pub, but they will then start talking to you, you know. It's pretty friendly. People like us at Halsey, you know, the neighbours, you know, the neighbours know we're a sort of, I think they're all always terrified we're going to sell it to a hotel chain or something. And they like the idea there's a bunch of cuddly folkies down the road, you know. You know.
I heard a lot of people used to go to the Crewe Arms in Crokham.
They did indeed. And it hasn't really changed much since those days, you know. And And there's a lot of weekends where people do get out and about and see the area, which is really good. And I think tourism has benefited because of Horsey. It was when we did our... put together a planning application for our plans, and that went through, when was that? April last year, April 2014. And it went through unanimously at the council. Why? Was because they really liked the architectural scheme. They thought it was very well designed. They praised us for the strength of our consultation with local people. And thirdly, they said, we think you're important to the local economy. You see, again, you know, if you come here, you don't kind of necessarily, why would you think about that? You're having a good time. But see, round here, we employed, you know, with casuals, you know, the numbers go up now, but, you know, with part-timers and casuals, 25 people. We spend thick end of £500,000 locally, you know, wages and, you know,
food.
Plumbers and food and, you know, drink and all that sort of stuff, and contractors, and you know, over the years, that's a very substantial. Now, it, you know, you go into a major conurbation, and we look pretty small fry. But around here, you know, where you know, we make a considerable economic impact. You know, and the councillors were very, very aware of that. And of course, if we prosper, you know, we'll employ one or two more people. And I think, you know, I've been very, we've done it a little bit, but it's something I'd like to see develop here, is doing a work experience and stuff for local young people.
That'd be excellent.
Because there aren't many opportunities around here, you know, and I think, you know, any employer has a bit of a responsibility to help out in that way, you know. So,
and encourage the next generation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's right. And I think that's it for me. I think if I've got a sort of criticism of Horsey, something I've been sort of less happy about, is that inevitably the people that have been coming a long time like to hold on to that, and some of them aren't very open about, you know, handing it on. But I think that's what it's about now. I think it really is about being bold and handing this place on to the next generation. If you don't hand the baton on, then it will close one day.
Yeah.
Because there won't be anybody who, you know, it's the people that have been coming in the last, you know, the new people we've generated over the last 3 or 4 years, and the younger people, they're the ones now picking up a Horsey habit, and they're the ones who will come back and end up running it, you know, and probably apply for jobs here, and you know what I mean. It'll be one of that lot that ends up as being the manager, chief executive here in 5 or 10 years' time. You know what I mean? And but if you keep having this increasingly decreasing size of people who are all in one area, all around the same age group, you're not refreshing the organisation. And we had, you know, I'm not exaggerating, we had major problems about that. I mean, when I arrived, I thought that I was very worried about that. It was worse than I thought it was. It got very moribund, and they didn't sort of know how to have that wider conversation. It got so internalised, you know, and very cliquey, actually. I don't think nobody meant it to be. It was just a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. Everybody wants it, you know, the opposite of that, but they didn't seem to sort of know how, and had lost touch with that sort of wider world. And I think we have, you know, with the board and the staff have made big strides in kind of being more outward facing, you know, being friendlier, being more approachable, you know, being a bit more flexible. It was very rigid when I came. You could only come here if you did that and that. Well, can I do that? No, you can't do that. You do that, or you can't come here. You know, and can I camp? No, you can't. You know, why not? Can I bring my dog? You know, well, you can't bring dogs on, but you know, there is a way of being in the bottom campsite and having a dog that's, you know. In other words, it just takes some flexibility of mind, and then that puts out a much, much more encouraging message to people, and then they start to come. But it's been a battle, but I think it's definitely one, you know, that we're winning now. But it's time to, you know, these all organisations rely on it going through periods and then handing the baton on to the next lot. And that's where we are now. You know, it needs to be handed on to the next lot. And you know what? They'll treasure it just as much as that previous generation did. They'll do things differently, and that's their right. And I'm quite sure they'll do some things which the older generation really won't disapprove of. And I remember that another arts organisation, I remember the chairman of the trustees of an arts centre I once worked for, he said, Yes, well, I don't think, I can't remember what it was. We were doing something, sort of heavy metal festival with a load of young offenders or something, and some of the trustees were a bit frightened. And he said, well, yes, but I can see why we, you know, should be doing this. And we've got to get out of our comfort zone. I thought that was absolutely the right thing to say. You know, you've got to take a bit of a risk, and you've got to go out of your comfort zone a bit, and you've got to talk to people and stop talking just to the people you know and start talking to other people. And that's, you know, that's what I think the thought. And that's what Bill Rutter wanted when he started it. So none of this is new.
No.
It's just the endless process of renewal, yeah, you know.
It sounds like you've opened it up to a lot more people.
Well, I hope so. I'm the board, and give a lot of credit to the board. I mean, I wouldn't have got asked to come here if it weren't for the board, if that wasn't the route the board wanted to go down. And a lot of it's not been easy, and either for board members or me at times. You know, you try something, it doesn't work, you know. You put something else on, it's really successful. Just because you put on an event that's very successful does not mean that all events will be really successful. If they did, we'd all be millionaires, wouldn't we? You know, so you can't take the risk out of it. You've got to try things. Not everything you try works. So you have to sort of stick at it and be... You have to be quite brave sometimes, you know.
Encouraged.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, you know, all credit to the... I honestly, yes, you know, I was the chief executive, and that's very much what I believe in, but... it was very much a group effort started by the board, and the board and the staff together. I think that's, you know, I think rejuvenated Halsey and given it its best chance of being here in another 50 years.
Brilliant. And I know there's a lot of people very sad to have seen you go. So
well, thank you very much. And I'm very, it's the people you miss, isn't it? You know, I love the building, but it's the people you really miss. And I did. It was nice driving up, actually, yesterday. I thought, you know, because I know it so well, you know. I know exactly where to park, and where I won't get in anybody's way, and whether I should leave my case in the hall or not. You know what I mean? You know, and you know all the staff. And it was lovely coming back. But it is people you miss, and I was really sad. I drove down the road that Friday afternoon a month ago, and I was, with Dan Pies, you know, I really did, you know, a big lump in my throat, you know, because you get, you know, I mean, you know, it's work, and you know, it's, you know, it's, but you do develop, you know, people you work with really well, people who's humour you miss, and you know, and the, you know, and like all people organisation, it's got a broad range of people here, and you know, it's a really interesting group of people, you know, visitors, board members, staff. You know, we don't always get on, we don't always see eye to eye, but 99% of the time it's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I hope you keep coming back.
And you know, we're sitting looking at, I know we're out the back at the moment looking out the window, but you know,
beautiful building.
It's a lot nicer view than it is out of the office window at West Berkshire Council in Newbury, I can tell you that.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us. And are you going back to your group now?
I'm teaching beginners bagpipes. So people who play a little bit, and I'm just teaching them to, yeah, things like posture and breathing and fingering and things, you know, the absolute basics, the sort of 10 basic things, you know, to play the bagpipes. And I'm sorry about that, because a lot of people can't stand the bagpipes, and all I'm doing is contributing to there being more bagpipers in the world. But actually, we have a small number of bagpipes here, but most of the players here are hurdy-gurdy players. That funny instrument where you turn a handle and the handle turns the wheel bows the strings, and it makes all kinds of amazing noises. And we've got, with no exaggeration, two of the best hurdy-gurdy players in the whole of Europe teaching here, Gregory Jolivet and Patrick Bouffard, and that's why it's packed out and they're all really, really happy. The punters, you know. So it's an absolute pleasure being back here, and so yes, of course I will be back.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, and good luck with it. And you know, I know I was involved with developing this project and writing the bid with Yvette, but I'm so pleased about this project. It's exceeded my expectations already. Do you know why?
No.
Because it's volunteer led. You know, the volunteers have absolutely risen and grasped this one, haven't they? And you know, I knew it'd be good. I knew we'd get there, but it's got to a critical mass quicker than I thought it would.
Well,
you know what
so
I mean?
Many
you know?
People had an attachment to the place and wanted to participate, both as interviewer and interviewee.
Yeah. And the Heritage Ossory Fund, who funded this, will be delighted because it's exactly what they want. You know, it's all very well, people are being paid like me saying it's great, but it's what they're trying to do is fund things that get volunteers passionate about their stories and their heritage. And I'm really proud of this project, you know, really, really proud of it. And and I'm talking into a recording device which we bought with lottery money.
A lovely
yeah.
note to end on.
And you know, and we got some money for volunteers, travel expenses, and all that sort of thing. And you know, and it's absolutely brilliant. So I'm very pleased with the project. So thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Paul.